So we're on the brink of a new year. Some of us are waiting for that ball to drop, and some of us will be sleeping through it, wondering what the new year might bring. And as we wait and we wonder, we also have some rituals around the new year's. Here in the South, I understand the favorite ritual is black-eyed peas and some form of greens on New Year's Day. And hog jowl. What's hog jowl for? But why do you have it on New Year's Day? It's just to add pork to the food. Okay. You eat good the first day. All right. And then we have football and we have gatherings. And here at Plank Chapel, we have watch night. Rituals are sign acts that something important is happening. Something different is going to be occurring. And that sometimes we're hoping for blessings in the midst of it. As I understand, the greens and the black-eyed peas have to do with blessings of wealth. Well, when I was talking to the children, there's that tradition as we move towards, you can't see my writing anymore, it's kind of smudged. As we move towards Epiphany, there's a tradition of chalking the door and offering blessings upon your house, asking God to bless that place and the entrance to that place and everyone who may be coming into your home. Well, Mary and Joseph in today's reading were in the midst of a sign act, and we didn't bring one up because they probably thought we didn't want to talk about circumcision on a Sunday morning. But verse 21 says, after 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So before they went into the temple and made the offering, Jesus had been circumcised, as was the tradition for those who were born of Israel, that the sign that you were one of that tribe was circumcision of the male. He is marked and sealed as someone who is of God's family. Just as we who, in the Methodist tradition, baptize our infants, we baptize them because it's a sign act that they are a child of God. We bring them into God's family. And at some point, we wait and wonder if they're going to say yes to that invitation, to that opportunity to claim the name of Christian. But we do that baptism just as Mary and Joseph did the circumcision of baby Jesus. And new babies are so much fun, aren't they? Whenever a new baby's around, don't we all want to hold it? And then, especially if we're not the parent, we want to give it away when it starts to cry. And I can imagine Simeon when Jesus came, and he knew who that baby was. It's the reason why this passage ended up being the passage I preached on, because I found that picture. And that picture just spoke to me, the one that's on your bulletin cover, of a Simeon holding baby Jesus, and you see the spark there, and I thought, what wonder he must have had, what awe he must have been in, holding the Christ child, the one he'd been waiting for, the one he'd been waiting so that he could die in peace and be with the Lord, but waiting for the Messiah to come, and there he was, able to hold him. It reminded me of a time in Leo's and my life when Wes was a baby. I didn't ask permission of Wes to tell this story, but he was a baby. And Leo was a young Marine, and he was in his Marine uniform, and he looked even rougher than he looks today, because, he looked mean. He was a mean green fighting machine, and I was working at the apartment building where we happened to be living. That's how I could be home with my baby. And it was the weekend, and I was up in the office, and there's this mean green fighting machine in his utilities talking to his little bitty baby as he came to see me. And people in the apartment complex came up and said, that's just so amazing to see this big, rough and tough man just be humbled by an itty bitty baby. The baby transformed the man. And we might have wondered, what was he going to be when he grew up? Not knowing that he'd be in a pulpit one day, but we wondered where he would go. Well, Mary and Joseph had to be wondering very similar things when they encountered Simeon holding baby Jesus. And did you hear what he said to them? Would you have wanted to really receive that kind of information as he claimed, you know, the wonder of who Jesus was? And then he goes on to tell Mary. This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. I don't know if I was the mother of the baby and the man was holding my baby, giving me these words, if I wouldn't say, can I have my baby back? The falling and the rising. Simeon experienced a different kind of wonder than we had. He already knew the story. He knew about salvation. But Mary had to be wondering, and Joseph had to be wondering what it meant, the falling and the rising, and a sword to pierce your soul. But we know, too, what that story is, that Christ had to die so we might have life. Christ had to die so he could be resurrected. We have to die to our sins so that we can be born again, new people. There is a falling and a rising as followers of Jesus Christ. It isn't a rising and a falling. It's a falling, falling to our knees in front of the cross so that we can rise again as born anew with our Savior. But Mary's soul had been pierced a little bit, because that baby that she got the news, it was just last week, we shared the news of her pregnancy and that she would be carrying the Son of God. And then to give birth and have the shepherds come and have glory to God in the highest all around her, to come into this temple and hear this story, and then to watch him grow. It says he grew filled with wisdom and favor of God was upon him. So those young years must have been beautiful, wonderful years in the home of Mary and Joseph. But then Mary had to watch him step into his ministry. Mary had to watch him become threatened. Mary had to watch the people begin to be antagonistic to her son. Mary had to experience his whipping. Mary had to experience the blood that was spilled as he walked to the Calvary cross. Mary had to experience blood pouring down him as he hung on the cross. Mary had to experience his death, his falling. And a sword must have pierced her soul. It would have pierced mine. It pierces mine. And then Mary was there at the tomb at the resurrection. Mary experienced the rising of Christ. Mary got to experience in the upper room the coming of the Holy Spirit. Mary is each and every one of us who steps into a life of grace and salvation. We are Mary who fall and rise again. We are Mary who know the story of the baby who grew to a man so that we might be saved, so the world might be saved. So many words that morning for Mary and Joseph to ponder. We know the story that they were moving into, the journey they were taking. But they did not. They only had the words of a man named Simeon. But then Anna shows up. Anna, a prophet who spent her days and nights in fasting in a relationship with God. And she too, there's no prompting, there's no star, there's no angel telling Anna that this baby here with this couple is the Christ. There's nothing except her relationship with God was so strong that she saw the Christ in the midst of the crowd. And she pointed him out and she shared the story, the wonder of the salvation of Israel, the wonder of the salvation of the world, right there in their midst. And I love Luke, because Luke just kind of goes, and when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, like, they just went about their business and just did what they needed to do. They returned to Galilee. But if I was Mary or Joseph, I would have been wondering and waiting for what we had heard from these two prophets. But we are like Simeon, are we not? We're waiting for the coming of Christ. We're waiting for the second coming. That's why we're here. We are people who are followers of Jesus Christ and believe that he will come again. And so we are waiting for that moment when he will come. We are also like Simeon, that when we experience the Christ in people we meet, it is with awe and wonder that we see the wonderful creation that God made in each and every one of the people, because we can see Christ in them, even if they cannot. We can see Christ in Christ's creation, whether it is feathered, whether it is four-legged, whether it is a, I don't know about you, but the past two sunsets have been absolutely glorious. The glorious sunsets and the glorious sunrises and the colors of the seasons. We can see God in creation. But we are also like Joseph and Mary. We nurture the Christ in us as Joseph and Mary nurtured the Christ child. And we care for the Christ in others, because as the body of Christ, we surround those who come into our circle and share with them the good news. And we nurture that good news within. We lift up the wonder of who they are, and we guide and direct the paths that they need to take. And when we are connected to the Lord through a life of prayer and study and fasting and worship, as Anna was, we are able to see Christ in others, and we are able to see and share Christ with others. I can just imagine what it must have been like to be Simeon, to hold the baby in his arms, and to know that Christ, God, was with us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.